Today is the Titi, or the lunar day, on which falls the anniversary of the disappearance of three of the very greatest acharyas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, namely Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, and Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Of course, all the acharyas are great. They're all, acharya means situated on this platform of realized service to Krishna without any material contamination, but especially these three have been very important in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Our Vaishnav cult is one of worship of Krishna. But that worship of Krishna, Krishna himself says that the worship of the devotee is more important than worship of he himself. And certainly worship of Krishna is incomplete and is virtually verges on voidism or impersonalism if it's not in conjunction with worship of the devotees, particularly acharyopasanam. The worship of the acharyas is central to, intrinsic to the process of Krishna Bhakti. If we try to worship Krishna without worshipping the acharyas or going through the acharyas, that won't be worship of Krishna. That won't be worship in the proper way. There are so many people in India who have some kind of bhakti. They worship Krishna, but they don't go through the acharyas, or they don't worship the proper acharyas. And therefore, that cannot be considered to be properly bhakti at all. In fact, according to Rupa Goswami, our acharya, that might be considered even a disturbance to actual bhakti. Utpataya eva kalpate. That may be considered a disturbance. But if we worship the acharyas, it's too loud, isn't it?
It's too consonant, but it's slow.
Oh.
Back side here.
Can you say? If we worship the acharyas, they will point us toward Krishna, so that even if we worship the acharya, there's no question of worshipping the acharyas without worshipping Krishna, because they will direct us to Krishna. That's why they are acharyas. So practically for us, worship of the acharyas is more important. We can't understand who is Krishna or how Krishna is to be worshipped, nor can we establish a connection with Krishna without going through the parampara. But it's very difficult to understand the acharyas, because they appear in this world like, apparently like ordinary people. So to understand the acharyas, we should hear from the acharyas about the nature of pure devotion and how it is manifest in the personalities of the great devotees. Parampara jano bhalo mate. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, enlisting the acharyas in our sampradaya, tells us that we should know very well what is parampara. He says, parampara jano bhalamati, know very well. That doesn't mean just simply to learn a list of names, but we should also understand what are the, not just the naam, but also the guna rupa lila, the form, qualities and pastimes of the great devotees. Especially this is very important from the consideration that our recent acharyas have not externally behaved in the same way, in many ways differently to the original acharyas of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. We're talking about today Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. These are the early acharyas, or the original acharyas. Six Goswamis, and then in the next generation, or practically the same time, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And what they were doing and what our recent acharyas were doing is, there are differences. Bhaktivinoda Thakur lived in Calcutta. That's not, we find Rupa Goswami says to live in Mathura. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, at least according to external vision, lived in Calcutta. Whereas Raghunath Bhatta, Raghunath Das, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, they lived in Rajamandal, in Mathura, Mandal, Mathura district. Bhaktivinoda Thakur constructed a house in Calcutta. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he drove in car, he went here and there in cars and rebuked those who were sure that they were following the Goswamis. He came in a car to Vrindavan, and all the Babaji's there, they thought, well, what's this? He's not following Rupa and Raghunath. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati came in a, they're there following, they're doing what Rupa and Raghunath did, at least they thought they were doing what Rupa and Raghunath did. Dressing in a short cloth and engaging in bhajan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati came in a car to Vrindavan to show how to follow Rupa and Raghunath, which seemed absurd, preposterous to those who claim themselves to be the orthodox Gaudiya Sampradaya. However, we find that our recent acharya, Srila Prabhupada, he didn't just travel in a car, he traveled in planes. Jet age Parivrajaka Acharya. That's one of the chapter titles in Prabhupada Lilamrita. So, certain persons consider this ISKCON and Gaudiya Math to be a kind of deviant sect from the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So it's important for us to understand what is, how we are following, and how those who are simply imitating, they're not following in spirit how our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they were fully worshipping and following in the footsteps of the great acharyas, even though externally there was some difference in their activities. Not completely different. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was living in Calcutta, but he was Jedina Grihe Bhajana Deke Grihe Te Goloka Bhai. His house was Golok Vrindavan. He saw it like that, because he was fully engaged in the activities of Krishna consciousness. So we can discuss some of the activities of these great acharyas. Much of the activities of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami we learn from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. And more we learn from Bhakti Ratnaka. Narahari Chakravarti has composed this. Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami is not so much recorded about him as there is about the other six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and he was the only one who didn't write any books. So it's said that if you want to know a person, you can see his library. Or if he doesn't have a library, that also you can judge something about him. Srila Prabhupada said, every gentleman should have a library. So Raghunath, then if you want to know about a person even more, if they write books, then you can know even more. You may not know everything. You don't know everything about Srila Prabhupada. How you can't know everything. But certainly what their interest in life is, we can understand. If someone writes a book, we can see, why they write it, what takes their interest, what do they want to convey to others, what do they have to convey to others. Raghunath Bhatta didn't write any books, but he was completely absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam, on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I guess we'll get through to that. As he was, all of the six Goswamis, they were all devotees from birth. We don't have much information about the parents of Rupa and Sanatan, but they were engaged in Krishna conscious activities from early life, that's clear. All the others, they were clearly born in Vaishnava families. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, his father was Tapan Mishra. Tapan Mishra was ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to... Tapan Mishra was from East Bengal, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met him there. And then Tapan Mishra wanted to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvipa, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instead told him, go to Varanasi. So it was there that Raghunath Bhatta grew up as a young boy. He had darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going and coming to Vrindavan. And he served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridasa Thakur at these opportunities. And when he became little grown up, he went to stay in Puri with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who by this time had accepted sannyas. Oh, he had already accepted sannyas. The young boy there, Raghunath, was there. Then after 8 months of being in Puri with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during that time he would often invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for prasadam, and it's specifically stated that Raghunath Bhatta was a very expert cook. Well, he must have been very expert, because there must have been so many expert cooks among the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So to mention that he was an expert cook means that he must have been very good. So he would invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come, but after 8 months, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Raghunath Bhatta home and told him to look after your parents, because they're old, they're Vaishnavas. So you look, stay at home, look after them, but don't marry. Specifically told him, don't marry. And then after his parents passed away, again Raghunath Bhatta came to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spent another 8 months with him in Puri. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him to Vrindavan, where he would daily read Srimad Bhagavatam. This was the order, this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's specific order to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami to recite Srimad Bhagavatam. And Raghunath Bhatta had a very sweet voice. Again, among the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, certainly many of them must have had very sweet voices, but it's specifically mentioned about Raghunath Bhatta Goswami that he had a very sweet voice. So it must have been exceptionally sweet. And he would recite in the presence of Rupa and Sanatana, and no doubt so many other devotees, Srimad Bhagavatam. He would repeat each verse 3 or 4 times and each time sing it in a different tune. There's one very instructive incident which is mentioned by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that when Raghunath Bhatta was going to Puri from Varanasi, he was joined on the way by one devotee of Lord Ram, Ramdas Vishwas, who was from the Kayasta class, who were considered Shudras. But he was very Shudras, but they were very learned, and they were mostly government assistants, but, clerks, you could say, in modern language. So this Ramdas, he wanted to carry Raghunath Bhatta's luggage and to serve him in all ways. Raghunath Bhatta, he was hesitant to accept that. Generally a brahmana, they'll take service from the lower caste, but he said that, you see, you're a very respectable person, you're very learned. But Ramdas said, no, it's my dharma. I'm supposed to do this. So if someone says it's my dharma, you can't deny them. So he allowed this Ramdas to serve him in all ways, and served him very nicely. And Ramdas, he was always chanting the name of Ram, day and night, constantly. Ram, Ram, Ram. He doesn't say exactly, he might have been saying other names also. So it seemed that he was a very great devotee. And actually this Ramdas was very learned in scripture, and he was very learned in Kavya, in the poetry, Sanskrit poetry, which means the great epics, poetic epics, Kalidas, all this. So they reached Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu welcomed Raghunath Bhatta. But this Ramdas, even though it was the first time that Ramdas had come, and it would be expected that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would welcome him, especially he's serving the devotee so nicely and chanting the name of Ram constantly, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't take much notice of him. He didn't give him any special mercy, it said. He ignored him. Because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, and he must have learned this from Raghunath Das Goswami, presumably, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could see that within the heart of Ramdas, although he was apparently a devotee, had all the symptoms of being a devotee, seemed to be a very great devotee, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could see that at heart he was an impersonalist. And that actually he was very, although he was behaving very humbly, but actually he was very proud of his learning. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't recognize him. So how do we recognize who's a great devotee? Who's actually a devotee? It may be very difficult for us, because someone may appear to be a great devotee and not be. And someone else might appear not to be a devotee, just like some people thought this Bhakti, this Kedarnath Datta, he's not a devotee, he's just a materialist. They thought about Prabhupada, his own godbrothers, the sannyasis would refer to all the grihastas as pacha grihasta, rotten grihasta. They, Who knew that Prabhupada was a great devotee? It wasn't that when he went to America, he suddenly, by the grace of America, he suddenly became a great devotee. He is a great devotee from the very beginning. Otherwise, how could he have done what he did? But who could recognize? Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj appeared that he was offensive to his deities, and he didn't follow any proper system of worshipping deities. He didn't chant any rounds, he didn't have a japa mala. And it is said that he would also smoke a hookah. It is said. So if Bhaktivinoda Thakur had not certified that he's a great devotee, who could have understood? Who would have differentiated him from the so many bogus people, the crowding Navadvip? Who's to say who's bogus and who's not? It can be very difficult to say. So the acharyas, they can tell us. Then who do we accept as an acharya? So, ascertaining all these points, it may not be very simple. It may be very simple, but it may not be all. It may be some people, they're convinced that certain persons are great devotees who our acharyas reject as being offenders. Just like there's certain person who appeared to be a great devotee, but he invented some mantra, which begins Nitai Gaura Desham, and people think that he's a great devotee, but our acharyas have rejected him. He's not. He's invented. He's envious of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, the Hare Krishna mantra. He suppressed it. About Raghunath Das Goswami, there's considerable description in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sri Bhakti Ratnaka. And he himself, he's not written nearly as extensively as Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, or Jiva Goswami. Nevertheless, what he has written, even not very much of what he has written, but it's of unequaled importance, we can say. Raghunath Das Goswami, he's generally known among Bengali Vaishnavas when they mention his name. They say Das Goswami. Just Das Goswami. Like that. Certain persons who are bereft of any real intelligence, they say that he's called Das Goswami because the other five of the Goswamis, they're from Brahmin families. And Raghunath Das was from a Shudra family. He's actually from a very rich family. But a very cultured family, a family of Vaishnavas. But in Bengal at that time, the Brahmins had divided the castes into two, Brahmins and Shudras, and that's all. So everyone else was considered a Shudra. That was some social reaction that done that. So some foolish people, they say that he's called Das, he's generally referred to as Das Goswami because he's from a Shudra background. But of course, our acharyas, they don't accept this. Raghunath Das Goswami was from a very extraordinarily rich family, and again from childhood he had the mercy or the association of Haridas Thakur. Nityananda Prabhu would regularly visit that area, Saptagra. It used to be a very wealthiest place of Bengal. Now it's just a village, Saptagra. There's a train station, Saptagra. So Raghunath Das, he was born into immense wealth and the only son of Hiranya and Govardhan, Majumdar. Means there are two brothers, and between them they only had one son. So he was the heir to an immense fortune. However, from early life, he was only interested in joining Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had no other interest in life. And he would try to run away from home. It's a well-known narration. He'd always try to leave his wealthy home to go and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. During the night, he would take off. But he couldn't get very far, because his father and his uncle, they were well-known people, and they had a network of connections throughout the whole area. So very soon, Raghunath would be caught. He'd run away, he'd be caught. He'd run away, he'd be caught. He'd run away and then bring him back. As was the system, in those days, up until recently, the children practically, they were married, so he was married. The wife was extraordinarily beautiful. I guess a rich man, he should marry a beautiful wife, that's expected. But again and again, that's what parents usually do up to the present day. If their son wants to join the Hare Krishna movement, they get him married. That's the usual thing. Get him married quick. Because it's understood that then he'll become attached to Mituni Bhav, the pleasures of sex and everything that accompanies that. Griha, Kshetra, Sutapta, Vitai, all. So someone who becomes attached to that, then naturally their attraction to Krishna consciousness, renounced life, that will be forgotten. So that was tried with Raghunath Das, but still he was running away. Even though it's described that his opulence was like that of Indra, and his wife was as beautiful as an Apsara. So his mother proposed to his father to tie him up. It's the only thing left to do, tie him up so he can't run away. But his father said that for someone, he's got a beautiful wife, that won't hold him back. And he's, for one who is attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then nothing can hold him. There's no use to tie him up. If you can't hold him back with a beautiful wife, then what will ropes do? So anyway, it's a long story how eventually he attended the festival, or that festival was made by Nityananda Prabhu and Panihati. When Raghunath Das came to see Nityananda Prabhu at Panihati, which is not far from Saptagram, on the other bank of the Ganga, Hooghly. Then Nityananda Prabhu, in his joking way, rebuked Raghunath, who was offering obeisances from a long distance. He said, "You're just like a thief. You're offering obeisances from a long distance. Why, come close." And Nityananda put his foot on Raghunath Das's head. Remember, Raghunath is just still a young man at this time. So Nityananda said, "You're acting like a thief, so I'm going to punish you now for being a thief. I'm going to give you a fine. You have to feed me and all my associates." So it is very pleasing for Raghunath Das. So he arranged on the spot, how are you going to feed so many people just all of a sudden? So they arranged from the local shopkeepers with instant feast. Chira in Bengali. And dahi. And that you can always get. You can always buy in some local shop, even to the present day. And condensed milk and bananas. So many people came and they got the... There's some free prasadam being distributed, even up to the present day in Bengal. You don't have to announce it. Whether you start distributing and within half an hour you'll have 20,000 people. So many people came, and the shopkeepers, they heard, "Oh, there's a good price, we're getting paid plenty for all our goods." So they all went and sold it to Raghunath Das, who then sent it for distribution. And then the shopkeepers themselves would sit down and eat the same food that they just sold after it was offered, like this. So then Raghunath Das, he was living at home, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had... Yeah, that's important instruction. So many important instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah, he was running away again and again, and eventually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that, "Don't act like a madman. You're running away and going back again and getting caught and then running away. Just act like a responsible householder, but within your heart, cultivate service to Radha and Krishna." So it seemed like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had rejected Raghunath Das, that you don't come and stay with me. You just stay at home and be a responsible householder. And then when the time is right, you will attain Radha and Krishna. It's not Markat Vairagya. He said, "Don't be a monkey renunciant. Don't jump where you're not ready to go." I'm never going to finish this in time. I didn't even start yet, practically. You have to give me an extension. Okay. So then, after getting the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu in this way, Raghunath Das again attempted to leave. He always wanted to go and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. So one time he saw there's an opportunity that the pujari in the family temple was absconding, and Raghunath Das's family priest, Yadunandana Acharya, he asked Raghunath Das that you're his employee, so tell him to come back, and we need some. Who's going to worship the deity if he's if, so? This was at the end of the night. Just at the night time. So Raghunath Das said, "Well, okay, don't worry, I'll look after it," because they're all guards, all stationed to stop Raghunath running away. So Raghunath said, "Well, don't worry, I'll look after it. I'll go and see him and sort it out." So they said, okay. So Raghunath didn't come back that night, but his guru, Yadunam, said, "Don't worry, I just sent him to sort out the pujari, to speak to the pujari, and don't worry, it's okay. Everything's under control. Don't worry that he didn't come back. I know what he's doing." So Raghunath thought that, well, maybe the deity won't get worshipped, but it's a chance for me. So he took off again. And he ran. It said within 4 days, or 12 days, he reached Puri, day and night. He ran without eating, non-stop. He didn't go on the normal roads. He went through all different forest paths, and just like a madman, he thought, now is my chance. And he got away. So it's described that he was directly trying to approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he was unsuccessful. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't accept him. But only when he approached Nityananda Prabhu and got the mercy of Guru Nityananda was he able to approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then his attempt was successful. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him. But even then, even though Raghunath Das was such a dear devotee to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Raghunath Das arrived, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put him under the care of Swarup Damodar, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's other form. He's non-different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he put him under the care of Raghunath, of Swarup Damodar, and even when Raghunath Das wanted to ask different questions to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are Swarup, although he did at some point give some instructions. So Raghunath Das was far away from Bengal, out of the area of influence of his father and uncle, and there was nothing they could do. His wife was left behind crying, the family was left behind crying. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spoke quite severely about, he said, I can do like this, because it's joking. He said, I'm joking, but there's a message there also. He said about Hiranya and Govardhan, he said that they're Vaishnavas, and they maintain all the Brahmins in the area, and all the Vaishnavas, and they're doing Vaishnav Seva. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, but they're attached. They're attached to this material world. He said, like worms in a stool hole. That means that people, they make a hole in a field, and everyone goes and passes stool there. And it just stinks. It stinks spectacularly. Those who had experience of a stool hole, it smells so bad. There's all flies and maggots, and it's just about the most horrible thing if you try to imagine. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that their happiness of having wealth and prestige and properties, it's like the enjoyment of a worm, a maggot in a hole full of stool. Very severe criticism. Well, we can't say it's criticism. It's the Supreme Personality of Godhead speaking. So he welcomed Raghunath. Come. Be under the care of Swarup Damodar. His father was thinking, oh, my boy left home. How will he live? He's used to kingly opulence. How will he live as a renunciate? So his father sent every month some gold coins, that this way you keep a servant and live a little nicely. That was his idea. He couldn't imagine how can my boy live in such miserable conditions. People are used to opulence. They think that living a renounced life is miserable. That Chaktva Turnam Ashesha Mandala Pati Shining Sada Tuchava. But the six Goswamis, they thought all this was all this wealth, opulence, friends, family, aristocracy, they gave it up as useless. Bhutva Dina Ganesha Ko Karunaya Pupina Kantashita. They lived very humbly, with just Kopin and Kanta, this patchwork quilt. But they had a... Why should they do that? Why should anyone give up that which is desired by everyone else? Why should they give it up? They're getting something better. Gopi Bhavaris Amritabda Lahari Kalola Madno Mahur Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya Gorashi Jiva Gopamako. Because they're always, constantly, again and again, diving and surfacing in the waves of nectar of Gopi Bhava Rasamrita. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he was living a renounced life, but he was accepting money from his father, but he didn't use it for anything personal, but he thought, I will use it for serving the Vaishnavas and serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he would personally invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he would use that money for buying Jagannath Prasad, and he would invite other devotees, because according to the caste system, which was being followed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates to some extent, the Raghunath Das, he couldn't cook personally for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he wasn't from a Brahmin family. So they would, he would arrange Uttam Prasad, said, the very costly items, and he would feed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, and he would use his money. After some time, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go twice a month to visit Raghunath and take Prasad with him, but then after some time the invitation stopped, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't going there, so he asked Surup Damodar, why is Raghunath not calling me? Surup Damodar told him that he stopped taking that money because he thinks it's not very good, having renounced the world, to get a stipend from home. That I've renounced everything, but I still have money in the bank. I have my bank account. So you see how I'm saying our recent acharyas, they're different. We keep money. Well, we don't, well, Prabhupada said don't keep it, spend it, but we do accept money. Not only do we accept money, but we invite others to offer money. So people will criticize. It's not the same as Raghunath Das. You see, he stopped. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased. He said, that's very good. Bishoya anna khaile dushta hoima. To accept food arranged by materialistic people. These materialistic people were devotees, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said they're materialistic devotees. Then one's mind becomes contaminated. And mandushta hoile nahe krishna smaran. Then you can't remember Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very pleased. He's not inviting me. Then after some time, he's not inviting me because he doesn't have money to invite. It's good he stopped taking the money. But then how is he living, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So how is he getting food? What's he, how does he, he was taking money, but you have to buy prasad in Puri. So how does he live? Surup Damodar told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that after doing bhajan all day, after chanting and hearing all these all day, then Raghunath, he stands at the gate of the temple. And the shop, that's the system, the persons who want to live in Puri without any endeavor to maintain themselves, they just want to do bhajan, that at night the shopkeepers, when they close their shops, anything left over they give to these, to the beggars. So like that, Raghunath Das, he's living like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Very good. He was pleased. Good. Now he's not accepting money, and whatever he gets by begging, he's making no arrangement for his maintenance, and Just with, yeah, like this. And he spends all day worshipping Krishna. And food he gets at night. So at this point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was one sannyasi who had come from Vrindavan, and he had presented Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a Govardhan Shila and a Gunja Mala. Gunja is the certain berries. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had these, and he gave them to Raghunath Das, and he told Raghunath Das how to worship Govardhan Shila with Tulasi and water, just like that, very simple. So Raghunath Das, it's described that he would worship his Govardhan Shila and Gunjamala, and the happiness he derived from worshipping them, that was more than one can get from worshipping very grandly with so much paraphernalia, because he understood that by giving him the Govardhan Shila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given him Krishna. And the Gunjamala, by giving him that, he had given him Radhika Charan, the lotus feet of Radharani. So in this way, Raghunath Das worshipped. After some time, at this point, when Raghunath Das stopped accepting the money and just not exactly even begging, just standing. You don't beg. You stand at the gate of the temple, and when people come, they'll give something like this. But at some point, then again, after some time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sarup Damodar, "How is Raghunath maintaining himself nowadays?" And Sarup Damodar said that, No, what happened? They went to... So, Raghunath is no longer seen at standing at the gate waiting for prasad. So how is he living? So they made some investigation. Sarup Damodar found that how Raghunath is living, that the rice of Jagannath Prasada, which the shopkeepers, they don't sell it, they don't give it away. If there's so much excess, if that becomes, that may become somewhat spoiled to external vision. So they may throw that out, and the cows will eat it. Throw it out means they put it in a place where the cows, but some, if it becomes too much spoil, then even the cows won't eat it. So Raghunath Das was going and collecting that rice, and if you've seen rice when it becomes a little overripe or spoiled, then it becomes on the outside a little soft, and there's an inner portion which remains hard. So Raghunath Das, he would wash that rice, and the hard portion, the little hard portion inside, he would keep that and take that with a little salt. So Sarup Damodar found this out, and then this was told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant Govinda to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that this is how Raghunath is living. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "That's good. Because this begging system, it's also not very good. It's like a prostitute." He was saying it's good, but then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "It's just like a prostitute. You see, you'll stand at the gate and you'll think, oh, this one's coming. He always gives me something. That's good. And then now another person's coming. He never gives me anything." So like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu likened that to a prostitute. That you're just looking, now there's a chance. This person's going to give me something. He didn't like that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He liked it in comparison to accepting the money from the father, but he didn't like He didn't think that was a perfect system. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard of this, he went and found Raghunath washing and just about to take that food. Now remember, now Raghunath, he was living in tremendous opulence with so many servants, so rich, so much prestige, and now he's living so renounced that he's taking the thrown out rice that even the cows won't eat. So he's holding that about to take it, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grabbed it from him and took it and said that, I've taken so much prasad. Every day I'm taking such nice prasad. I've never had prasad as nice as this. And he accused Raghunath, what are you doing? You're enjoying such nice prasad and you're not sharing it with me? But Sri Damodar, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to take more, then Sri Damodar grabbed his hand and said, no, you don't take more. You can do that to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You don't take more, that's enough. So like this, Raghunath, he once approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, look, I renounced everything, but I don't really know why or what I'm supposed to do. So instruct me. Now generally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would instruct him through Sri Damodar, but this time he gave Raghunath some specific instructions, which are the instructions for all devotees, specifically in the renounced order of Vairagi Bhai. Gramya Kata na Shunibe Kane, Gramya Bortana Kohibe Jabe Shunibeya Milibeya. Vairagi, one who has renounced the world, shouldn't talk about the world. He shouldn't hear topics about the, shouldn't hear ordinary topics. And he should not talk about worldly topics when he meets with others. Bhalo na khaibe or bhalo na paribe. Again, you see how our recent acharyas, they're not doing that. Don't eat nicely and don't dress nicely. Then hridayate, what is it? Sarvada, Radha Krishna, Sevibe. But always within your heart, serve Radha and Krishna. So Raghunath Das was following these instructions. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, and Swarup Damodar left just after that, and Raghunath, he thought, now there's no reason to live anymore. So he went to Vrindavan to take darshan of the lotus feet of Rupa and Sanatan with the intention of committing suicide. After doing that, there's no reason to live. I'll commit suicide by jumping from Govardhan Hill. It's a transcendental suicide system. We're not allowed to go on Govardhan Hill, so we're not allowed. That's the only way a Vaishnava is allowed to commit suicide. And we're not allowed to go on Govardhan Hill, so we're not allowed to do that. But Rupa and Sanatan forbade him, you don't commit suicide. You come here and stay with us, because we never heard. We were here in Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent us here, and we don't know about all the pastimes. You know, you were there, you were living with him for so many years. You saw all the pastimes. So tell us. So every day, Raghunath Das, he would recount the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. And that forms the basis of much of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. The later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are in many ways the most important, we know of them from Raghunath Das Goswami. Now all the different, Rupa, then Raghunath, he lived for another 40 years at Radha Kunda. Now all the great devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they all performed different functions, or they specific services they executed in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Das, he showed what is prayojan. What is prayojan? The entering into and being situated in the actual goal of life. What is sambandha? Jivesarupoi Krishna Nityada, service to Krishna. Abhideya is service to Krishna. And prayojan is service to Krishna. That means actually serving Krishna in one's perfect position. So Raghunath Das Goswami did that. He was only apparently living in this world, but practically he was not in this world. He wasn't eating. Every other day he would take a little buttermilk. That's not eating, is it? Practically he wasn't sleeping. Chari danda, 90 minutes. But then for pure devotees, their sleeping isn't sleeping either. They're, in their hearts they go on serving. So he was living on the, he was in this world, but practically he wasn't connected to it. All the great devotees, they're all pure devotees, they're all the Goswamis, they're all eternal associates of Radha and Krishna. But in this world, they do something to, they come to this world to help others come up to the highest level. So, Rupa Goswami wrote his Upadeshamrita, he wrote his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to help devotees to come up to a higher level. Like this, Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhakti Goswami wrote Hari Bhakti Vilas. This is bridge preaching, helping people to come from a lower level to a higher level. And they live in this world, they act in this world. Sanatan Goswami, he would interact with the Vrajvasis, with their personal affairs. And Jiva Goswami, he was acquiring properties and land, and he made a will, and he was writing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But Raghunath Das Goswami, he exhibited the character of one who is just totally absorbed 24 hours in Radha Krishna Leela. That doesn't mean that the other Goswamis are less because they helped us to come up to that level, but he showed what is this, what is the ultimate goal of life, to be always absorbed in Radha Krishna Leela. So there are several incidents described about him, how he would, one time he was sick on the bank, living next to Radha Kunda. He was sick and no one could understand why is he sick. Then the doctor came. Doctor in those days meant Kaviraj, he'll take your pulse. There's no homeopathy, allopathy or any of these. He took the pulse and due to indigestion from overeating. Everyone said, this doctor's useless. What was this? There's no question of him undereating. All the Vrajavasis, they were very concerned because Raghunath Das appeared to be very weak. He didn't eat. He was very skinny. And the doctor saying, overeating. So Raghunath said, yes, it's true, and because he doesn't, you know, he's not sure. He doesn't know whether he's here in on this external plane or in the internal plane. He said, "Yeah, that's true. That yesterday there was a big feast, and I had too much sweet rice." So this is all going on in the Radha Krishna Leela. There's no fasting. There's no Ekadashi. There's only Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. There's only bliss. Krishna, what he eats for breakfast would knock any of us out for the rest of our lives. And then he eats lunch and eats snacks. So Krishna and his associates, they're enjoying. There's only enjoyment, there's no fasting. So on the external platform, Raghunath Das was completely renounced. He showed tremendous renunciation, but that renunciation is not like the renunciation of the yogis who try to remove themselves from the world because they want to become detached from it. It's just because Raghunath Das, he didn't have any relationship with this world. For him, the eating or not eating, it didn't make any difference because he didn't live on this plane, and even when he would take his little bit of buttermilk, he would chastise himself. And, sense gratification. See, now I'm trying to enjoy this. Trying to enjoy. So this level of renunciation, total, just not in this world at all. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he showed what is prayoja, what is the highest goal of life. The Gauriya Vaishnavas, they worship Radha and Krishna. Now let us consider the progressive spiritual life, even though there's no time. Progressive spiritual life means, first of all, to accept that there is spiritual life. Atheists, they don't accept that. Then those who accept there is spiritual life, they mostly think that there is impersonal realization, or become God yourself. Then there is rejecting this impersonal realization, the understanding, the supreme, who is supreme? Narayana, he is to be worshipped, he is great, he is powerful. Then going beyond Narayana, we come to, we can't exactly go beyond Narayana, well, in one sense, yes. And then to Vrindavan, the land of Radha and Krishna, where God is no longer God. He doesn't appear to be like God. So this is the Gauriya Vaishnava teaching. Radha Krishna. Worship Radha and Krishna. Where Radha is the Krishna is enjoying with Radha all kinds of pranks and pastimes that are unimaginable for those who recognize God's greatness. Forget that He's God. Or to come to this level of intimate love and forget that He's God altogether and just love Him because He's Krishna. Not for His greatness, but for His Naam Gun Roop Lila. So this is the prayojan to worship Radha and Krishna, but Raghunath Das Goswami has presented something which is far beyond theology. And that is to worship Radha more than Krishna. Of course, there's no question of Radha without Krishna or Krishna without Radha. But he has become, or he's expressing the desire to serve Radha even more than Krishna. So this is the highest prayojan, which we don't even talk about very much. But we should talk about it sometimes, because we're supposed to be knowing where we're going. That the Jivesvarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das, service to Krishna. But then how is service to Krishna conducted? Actually, who can serve Krishna? Radha is serving Krishna. So if we can serve Radha, then that will be the proper way to serve Krishna. But in the Leela of Radha and Krishna, there appears to be, superficially, there appears to be a rivalry between Radha and Krishna, and the followers of Radha and the followers of Krishna. So Raghunath Das, he shows that the highest level is to Bhaktirao Thakur, also express this. Amito Radhika Pokkapati Shana. I'm always on the side of Radha. Of course, he said that in relation to the other gopis, Chandrabali. So Especially in the Raghunath Das Goswami, he didn't write so very much, but he's made some extraordinary statements, especially in the Mana Shiksha. He's warning, don't worship, don't think about the Lord of Vaikuntha. And we're going around preaching to everyone, think about the Lord of Vaikuntha. And he's saying, don't. You might fall down to Vaikuntha. So this is a very exceptional statement. One who's up there, they can say. For us down here, we say, let's get up there. But just see what is their level. That they think to go to Vaikuntha is a fall down. Then in his Vilap Kusumanjali, this actually I don't have time even to speak about Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, how he's presented the highest literature, which is even the Srimad Bhagavatam. We can't understand that without Chaitanya Charitamrita. No, you can't actually enter into it. That describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings of separation from Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radha. But if there is any further, Eho hoy, age koha, there is further to go, even that which is not expressed, even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Raghunath Das Goswami has expressed in his Vilap Kusumanjali, the desire to serve Radha exclusively. Can you give me a little extension? Vilapa means lamentation. Kusumanjali, an offering of kusum, flowers of regret, sadness. So Raghunath Das, this sadness or the distress that he's simply longing, and this mood is taken up again by Narottam Das, other acharyas. It's completely not understandable to any but the most advanced devotees how Raghunath Das and Narottam Das, also from very wealthy families, they ran away from home as young men and lived very renounced lives. What for? They're simply desiring, when will the time come, when will I get the opportunity, I will collect some flowers and give them to Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami, and then he will offer them to Radha, who will offer them to Krishna. And then Radha will ask, who has collected these nice flowers? And then Rupa Manjari will point out, this is your new maidservant. And then who will understand this? You give up wealth, riches, fame, just so that you can go and string some flowers for some cowherd people who are running around in the forest without any shoes on. Who can understand this? It requires a very high level. It's beyond theology. So Raghunath Das is expressing this. When will I get the opportunity that you will send me, Radha will send me, you go and, or no, Krishna will send me, and you try and say something to Radha to cool her down because she became so angry with me. So longing for this, then one verse which sums up Raghunath Das's. He's calling out to Radharani, Tavaivasmi, Najivani, Toyavina, Iti Vigyaya, Twam Devi, Nayamam Charanantikam. He says that I am yours. Who is he calling out to? Not to Krishna. To Radha. I am yours. I am yours. Please understand this. And bring me, keep me at your lotus feet. So this is the summary of Raghunath Das's mood. But there's more. He goes on to say more. And there's one more verse which I'll read from that. Iti Vigaya Devi Twam. There's one verse which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati he would quote sometimes. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he knew all this Vilap Kusamanjali since from a young age. He memorized all the verses. So I'll read this verse. Asha Bhalaya Ramrita Sindhu Mayai Katanchit Kalo Mayati Gamitakila Sam Tatam Hi Twang Chit Kripang Mayivid Hasyasi Naiva Kingme Pranaya Vrajina Chavaroro Bakari Nami. So this translation I'm going to give is given by one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. It's a translation he explains more of what Raghunath Das is saying, and it's extreme, which Raghunath Das says, that his vilapa, I'm feeling so, I'm just lamenting. Now, this is not material lamentation, just lamenting, feeling very distressed. But there is a hope, he says. I'm not completely hopeless. There is a hope which is sustaining me and nurturing my existence. Even though I couldn't get the service I'm praying for, but there's still a hope. With this expectation, I, Raghunath Das says, somehow pass my days dragging my life through these drawn-out times. That means every moment he's simply longing, when can I serve Radha and Krishna? And it was intense longing, but every moment is drawn out. And that became that sad existence, because Raghunath Das was young. And gradually Rupa Goswami passed away, Sanatan Goswami passed away, and then he's just feeling how can I live in such bad existence? But somehow I have a hope. That nectar ocean of hope is attracting me and keeping me alive. But my patience has reached its end. I can no longer endure. I cannot wait another moment. If you, Radharani, do not immediately show your grace to me, I am finished. I will lose all hope forever. I will have no desire to continue my life, for it would be totally useless. Without your grace, I cannot bear to live another moment. And Vrindavan, which is more dear to me than my very life, Raghunath Das says, I am disgusted with it. That's what I'm saying. It's extreme. If you don't give me the opportunity to serve you, he says, Vrindavan has no attraction for me. And what to speak of anything else? Listen to this one. I am disgusted with Krishna. Who can say this? We don't say this. It's not for preaching. Don't go out and preach this. But Raghunath Das, what his feelings are so intense, his bhakti is so intense, that Krishna, who is, what can we say, his genuine feeling for Krishna is so intense, but he's expressing like this. Shameful though it be to utter such words, I can have no love even for Krishna unless you take me within your confidential camp of service. O Radha, if I do not get your favor, then I want nothing else. In other words, I only want to serve Krishna through Radha. I want you and you alone to have an independent relationship with anyone else, eliminating you, is impossible for me. You must be first, then others. Without you, I can never even think of a separate relationship with Krishna. Shall I finish that? I've got some more. It's good. I'm going to read something from my book on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Upon reciting this verse, Srila Saraswati Thakur would become transfixed and overcome with emotion, his face like that of a phantom. He'd become like a ghost. He also stated that the meaning of his name, Vashabhanavi Devi Dayatadas, was made clear by the last two lines of this stanza. O Radha, if you are not merciful to me, then of what use are Krishna, Vraja, and even life itself? So this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was cultivated there. Now you see, he's driving in a car, making a big organization, making lots of disciples, speaking so strongly, but this is his mode. This is why he is servant of Rupa and Raghunath. He's Varshabhanavi Devi Dayata Das, the servant of Krishna, who is the lover of Radharani. During a conversation with Sri Sharadindu Narayana Rai in Calcutta in November 1930, the first verse of Dilab Kusumanjali flashed into Srila Saraswati Thakur's mind. So he's speaking with this landholder, Sharadindu Narayana. And they're talking. And generally, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he'll always be discussing Krishna Katha. So they're discussing and discussing. But then in his mind, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, this verse from Vilap Kusumanjali comes and he recites the first verse. From Rupa Manjari Saki, Pratita Puresmin, Pungsaparasya Vadanam, Nahi Pash Yasiti, Vimhadare Kshatam Anagata, Bhatri Kaya, Yatte Vyadhai Kim Utach Chuka Pungavena. O friend Rupa Manjari, it is well known in this town that you do not look at the face of any man other than your husband. This is written by Raghunath Das. He is not here, and yet there is a mark on the bimba fruits of your lips as if someone has bitten them. Did a large parrot bite them? As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati began to explain this verse, his voice faltered and then choked up. Tears streamed from his eyes. His body quivered and his hairs stood on end. Gripped with ecstasy, he fell from his wooden chair to the floor. Disciples in attendance helped him up and, carefully supporting him, led him to an adjoining interior apartment. Sharadindu Babu followed him inside. In other words, he recited this verse and he started to explain it. Then he just was overcome by ecstasy and he collapsed on the floor. And then his disciples picked him up and then they brought him into the next room. And Sharadindu, who's an outside man, pious man, he followed him inside that room and offered full dandavat and said, "This happened because we are not fit to hear such topics." Observing this upsurge of ecstasy in their characteristically deeply grave acharya, his disciples became stunned and motionless, like figures in a painting. After some time, the visitors left, and eventually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati returned to external consciousness. He then lamented to the remaining devotees, "Today I have succumbed to great weakness by speaking topics of the spiritual realm in the presence of ordinary persons. I didn't realize that so many outsiders were here. On what level are the talks of commonplace folk engaged in satisfying their bodies and minds? And on what level are the talks of Sri Rupa Raghunath? Better to speak according to the judgment of Rupa Raghunath. So in other words, better to speak the basic philosophy. So regarding Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, I'll just quote some verse that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to quote, which is the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings encapsulated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is quoting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ha ha Krishna prana dhanam. Ha ha padda lochan. Ha ha dibba shada guna shagar. Ha ha shama sunda. Ha ha pitambara dhara. Ha ha rasa vilasa naga. Kahan gele tuma pai tumi kaho tahan jai. Alas, where is Krishna, the treasure of my life? Where is the lotus-eyed one? Alas, where is the divine ocean of all transcendental qualities? Alas, where is the beautiful blackish youth dressed in yellow garments? Alas, where is the hero of the rasa dance? Where can I go to find him? Tell me and I will go there. Hare Krishna, Srila Raghunath Bhattadas Goswami ki jai, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, please excuse me for speaking so long. Hare Krishna.